Let's begin with the objectives first. So after going through this particular chapter, you will be able to understand about how to connect with your contacts, overcoming nervousness in networking, the three P's of networking, and professional email etiquette. So let's move ahead. According to the Cornell University's Career Center, one of the important global universities, 80% of available jobs are not advertised. So this is a very astounding fact. These jobs are often referred to as hidden job market. So they are not published anywhere. They don't come into the papers. They are concealed or hidden. Okay. This is the basis for understanding the importance of networking as a strategy for career development and exploration. So these jobs, many of these important jobs are obtained through networks, obtained through known people. Okay. So that's the reason why networking is so important for career development. In fact, every one of us has a network, even if you don't realize it. So just imagine, if you can think of the number of friends that you have, the number of friends that they have, the number of cousins that you have, the number of uncles, aunties that you have, okay, the number of professional people that you're known to, you will come out with a huge network map. And when it comes to job searching, this network may be just as important as your skills and experience. A professional network is that group of people with whom you interact every day. Family, friends, parents of friends, friends of friends, neighbors, teachers, bosses, and co-workers. As I mentioned, these are the entities that you're connected with. This is your home network. So you know these type of people. Networking occurs every time you participate in a school or a social event, volunteer in the community, visit with members of your religious group, talk with neighbors, strike up a conversation with someone at the store, or connect with friends online. So networking is omnipresent. It happens at every avenue and juncture that we know of. Networking for the purpose of career development means talking with friends, family members, and acquaintances about your goals, your interests, and your dreams. Most people actually learn about job openings through friends, relatives, or others who are a part of their personal network, and because each person in your network has a network of his own or her own, your potential contacts can grow exponentially. So many a times you will notice two friends from earlier organizations sitting together in another organization, and of course many other people from that organization. For example, when I was in a Cummins business domain, there I noticed a majority of people were from a company called as WNS. Now, how did that happen? How did people, out of 80 people, how could 35 people be from that one particular company? Then it became known that the new operations manager who had come to the company brought along with him references of about 15 people, and these 15 people subsequently brought in more 20 people. So out of 80 people, 35 people got a job on the virtue of networking. Some were in fact promoted to one or two levels up. So this is the power of networking. This is important because more often than not, hiring managers would rather talk to a potential candidate who has been recommended by someone they know or they already employ. So in one of the chapters, we had spoken about the story about Ajay and Vijay. So this statement is exactly reflecting that particular story. Even if a position is not currently available, networking can lead to informational interviews that can help you not only learn about possible career paths, but also be great exposure for you to be just thought of as a potential candidate when a job opens up. So what you're doing is you're readying the ground, you're preparing the ground for a job opening, and post which If you effectively network, you will definitely bag it. So we spoke about an informational interview in the last slide. So it is nothing but, is the same as a job interview by any means. An informational interview is not the same as a job interview by any means, but it is probably the most effective form of networking there is. In fact, according to Quintessential Careers, one out of every 12 informational interviews results in a job offer. This is a remarkable number considering the fact that research indicates that only one in every 200 resumes, some studies put the number even higher, results in a job offer. So the conversion ratio for the informational interviews based on networking is much, much staggeringly more than a conventional, a resume search, which is converted into an offer. Developing networking skills is important for all youth, but particularly for those with limited work experiences, which is unfortunately often the case for youth with disabilities. So youth with disabilities are people who cannot walk, they probably are in a wheelchair, or they have some visual impairment or hearing problems. By creating opportunities whereby young people can research, talk to, and network with those working in careers of interest, they are more likely that they will be able to make informed choices regarding their future. So if somebody guides these kind of people, okay, if they have opportunities wherein they can meet some people to guide and mentor them, and of course prove as references for them to get jobs, then this is an excellent opportunity for them. For youth who are hesitant to network or take the steps necessary to arrange informational interviews, consider teaming as one strategy that may help participants feel as if they have the support they need while trying out new skills and learning how to become a strategic and seasoned networker. So what this does is when people team together, they actually synergize, they actually coordinate the resources, they become bolder with exposure, and hence they can go out and network more efficiently. So now we come to the topic, how to connect with your contacts. Extremely important that we discuss this so that people get a gist of connecting in a professional manner for a job. To create an immediate link in your introduction, use the name of the person who referred you. It may take multiple attempts to make contact. Send an initial introductory email. Sending an introductory email allows you to compose your thoughts carefully, and its arrival will not interrupt the individual's work. Most individuals prefer to talk by phone. An email serves only as a means of introduction and will rarely yield a written response. Therefore, you must take responsibility for the follow-up. The main advantage of sending an email is that the individual you are contacting can learn something about your needs and interests prior to his or her conversation with you. The greatest disadvantage of sending an email is the potential for overfamiliarity and informality. Remember that this correspondence should be of a professional nature. So this is extremely important to understand in the context of an email communication. The next method or way of connecting with your contacts is to make a telephone call. Many candidates have discovered that direct calls are quicker and more productive than emails. What happens is if the person doesn't know you, so he will not prioritize your email in the morning. He may have 100-150 emails. So he or she may not actually look up your email, or they would just browse briefly and put up a later job of reverting, and that won't happen. But with a phone call, that is not true. Many of times phone calls are more effective than emails. When you telephone a contact, explain why you are calling and ask to set up a phone or personal appointment. Have a 30 seconds introduction ready in this particular context. It's important to have this particular 30 second introduction ready because you should not fumble the first time you contact a person. There should be enough clarity in what you say. Do not ask the person to answer your questions during your initial call, but be prepared to start the conversation immediately if he or she indicates that they are available now. The key advantage of the telephone contact is it saves time for both you and the person you are calling. So you don't have to commute personally every time to this contact in order to get in touch with him. Most people conduct business via the telephone and find it easier to schedule a call than to schedule a meeting. So you're spared of investing in the venue, traveling in traffic, wasting time to meet the person. It's all done quickly through a telephone call. A face-to-face meeting is the best option because the individual can get a much better feel for who you are and will remember you later. But again, it involves the elements of traveling, it involves the element of traffic, meeting the person, spending on the venue sometimes. Regardless of the method you choose, you will need to explain your purpose in requesting the interview. So this is extremely valid or extremely relevant. Now let us look at the concept of overcoming nervousness in networking. The prospect of asking for help can be daunting. Some people find it awkward to make telephone calls to people they don't know. Keep in mind that people are usually very willing to give advice. So you first need to understand the mindset of people. Everyone likes being regarded as an expert. So if you give a certain amount of respect and importance to a person, if you show them that they are experts, then there is rarely a person who will not show interest in you. If you keep in mind that the purpose of your information interview is to provide you with facts and perspectives, you have absolutely nothing to lose. You will become more knowledgeable and skillful as you conduct more meetings. So rather than being nervous, rather than finding it awkward, you need to move ahead and get good with networking. View informational interviewing as relationship building. You are developing advocates for your professional life. So there are many people who will in fact help you with their joint knowledge. So that's the reason why you need to view these particular type of interviewing as relationship building. Understand that it might take conversations with 20 or 30 individuals to turn up 3 or 4 who mentor you. So it's not an easy process. It follows the other real life aspects wherein you need to have more efforts to get little incentive, but that incentive is important. Those individuals will be worth their weight in gold. So that's very important. These genuinely interested people will help mentor you. They themselves will send you to a number of people from their referrals. Practice with a friend and try out being on both sides of the fence. You will quickly, what this means is that you need to be a networker first, you need to be a person who's seeking help first, and you can also rehearse being a networker who's giving out help or your mentor. You will quickly see how easy it is for you to be helpful to your friend. Extrapolate this lesson to those who are helping you. So probably you can reach out or extend, that's what extrapolate means here, to other people who are like you, who are in search of a job, who are trying to network as well. Prepare a 30 second pitch to explain your purpose in calling and a list of your questions. So as they say in interviewing, as we've seen, first impressions are last impressions or lasting impressions. Hence, this is no different. Here you need to have a pitch for your networking. Practice your pitch until it actually rolls off your tongue. That means even if you are caught asleep, if you are woken up, you will be able to say it without much hesitancy. Smile into the phone. Since we are working on telephonic calls in the respect of networking, so it's necessary to smile into the phone. Your voice, tone, attitude and self-confidence will improve in a very remarkable or a marked manner. Practice your story with those contacts you have less interest in, and save the people at the top of your list for last, people who are generally eager to grant your request. For the most part, people enjoy talking about themselves and like to be helpful. So just imagine if you are, you're a newly passed graduate, somebody from the school or an undergrad comes to you and asks you for some college advice and asks it genuinely. Won't you feel important and won't you feel like you would like to help these people? Definitely, most of us would do that. Let's now look at the important or the three P's of networking. We'll enlist them here quickly and discuss them in the forthcoming slides. So first, being prepared. Preparing is now becoming a universal constant. We've seen it in the mastering of interviews as well, various chapters. We've seen it in chapters related to networking. The next being practice or rehearsals. And the third being pulling yourself together. Let's take an in-depth look at all three. The first being practice, prepare. Do what you need to do to get ready. This is nothing but prepare. Preparing is nothing but the initial planning that goes out into networking. For example, to prepare for a telephone call, write a script and practice it. Know why you're calling, so have your notes ready. Prepare yourself on how to leave a message if the person doesn't pick up or is not available. So you know beforehand how to react in the terms of outcomes when it comes to a telephonic call. To prepare for a face-to-face meeting, do a lot of the same as you would for a phone call. If you're meeting with someone to get information about the work they do or a particular company, visit the company's website if they have one to learn more about it ahead of time. So knowing things ahead of time will help you in a very good way. Okay. The next is practice. So practice what you want to say over and over. Practice, it is said, makes man perfect. So it's important for us to practice and rehearse so that it becomes a part of our system. The more you hear yourself say what you want to say, the easier it will be and the more confident you will feel. Ever think about smiling when you're on the telephone? Believe it or not, people can hear that confidence in your voice. People can determine friendliness from the tone of your voice. So you don't need to be face to face or in front of a person for the person to listen or hear your smile. You can do it over the telephone as well. You will sound very warm and you will sound very interesting. Prepare for one-to-one interviews by practicing with a friend, parent or someone you know and trust. Ask them to role play with you. They could pretend to be the person you're going to meet with and you could practice asking the questions you have prepared. So this would really help in a real life situation. Many a times a third person perspective actually provides you with a lot of critical observations and feedback, correcting which would help you become a better networker. The third P is pull yourself together. Part of feeling confident at a networking meeting is feeling good about yourself. So networking is all about being yourself. Networking is all about taking pride in whom you are and imparting or providing other people with the value that you can give. So if you feel good about your appearance, you tend to give your confidence a big boost. Good grooming is extremely essential in this context. Don't forget about those day-to-day essentials like showering, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, and using a deodorant. So, when you come in close contact with people, people should find you appealing in your appearance. Unclean hair, or if you've got an unclean face, unshaped face, if you've got dark circle under the eyes, if you're not wearing a deodorant, if you've got bad breath, nobody will like to interact closely with you. So if you're meeting someone in a professional setting, try to find out what dress code is and see if you can come close to dressing in the same manner. For example, if you're meeting someone in an office and people usually wear ties, then you should wear a tie too. Don't forget other important things like a pen and a pad of paper. Your contact might say something really great and you'll want to write it down. It's always a good idea to take a resume with you, even if you're not meeting with someone for a job. It's a good way to leave someone with a reminder of skills, of your skills, talents, and experiences. Let us say, for example, this person tomorrow requires somebody in their office. Your resume is ready. Or if some friend of his or hers calls and asks that person for a job help, probably they might pull out your resume and provide your name as a reference. Now in this slide and the next few, we will discuss the important topic of professional email etiquette, which is another great help in the context of business and job related networking. Now etiquette, as we know, is nothing but a set of protocols, the things that we should do and the things that we should not do also, need to be made aware of as a part of etiquette. Professional email etiquette has become extremely important as email has become an inseparable part of our daily lives and greatly influence our networking efforts. Well, let's now look at certain practical aspects of email etiquette. The first being include a subject line that helps the reader. The reason here being a meaningful subject line helps to clarify what your message is about and also might help the reader to prioritize reading your email. So it's extremely important that you have a relevant subject line, because today normally readers have 200 to 300 mails in their inbox every day, especially busy managers. A mail without a subject line will not help to prioritize those mails, so they will be deferred and left for later. The next email etiquette is the use of business language, spell check, and the avoidance of short forms or abbreviations. The possible reasons here include emails are considered professional or business correspondence. So there needs to be a business language involved, and abbreviations understood by some may not be understood by others, hence there needs to be left. You want to be sure everything is spelled correctly and can be easily understood. So this is another important aspect why you need to have a spell check done. The next element is avoidance of the using of all caps. Possible reason would be all caps usually means you are screaming. No one likes to be yelled at, even in an email. The next email etiquette is do not use jokes, witty remarks, or sarcasm. Possible reasons: jokes and witty remarks may be inappropriate and often do not translate well in emails. The next being avoid gossiping or complaining. Possible reason being email can be forwarded to others quickly. You never know who will see, hear what you wrote. Keep the communication short and to the point is the next etiquette element. Possible reason being anything long or complex should be addressed in person or over the telephone. Email is not a juncture to do so. The next email element is, or etiquette is, do not use emoticons for introductory emails. Emoticons are the smiley faces that you create by combining the colon with the curly brace, or nowadays you also get emoticon applications. Possible reason is business emails should not use emoticons because they are not considered professional. If you've seen them, they look childish or they look personal. Plus, not everyone knows what they mean. So if there's a colon and a smiley side face, some people might not recognize it and might get confused. If you know the person, you can use them sparingly if you want to shed light on how you're feeling. So if some amount of relief has come because of some help the person has provided, probably that would be a good juncture to use a smiley face, but not otherwise. The next point is to the use of social media in your career. Social media, example LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, blogs, has allowed us to extend our network beyond our location or geographical territory. As a result, allows us to communicate with friends, family, and business contacts from all over the world. Social media technology continues to grow and change in order to accommodate the business relationships as well as networking for professionals. In this context, it's important to build a professional profile. Whichever social media venue you use, make sure your profile is professional and current. This means using a professional, not casual picture, being consistent through all your social media. Separate the personal from the professional. Example, restrict access on Facebook so professional contacts only see what is appropriate. Don't link all your tweets to your LinkedIn profile if they aren't relevant. So there is a need, in Facebook, especially on Twitter, people behave in a more professional, in a more personal manner and not professional. But on LinkedIn or the other side, they are extremely professional. So when you're mixing media, ensure that the media is consistently professional. Updating, this also means updating your profile regularly with relevant information. Google yourself. Is there information that you would rather, professional contacts that or rather your professional contacts not see? So ensure that you are seen as a professional, mature kind of a person. Ask your friends to untag you and improve your professional presence so it is first in the search results. So if your friends have tagged you in a Facebook page where you've been on a beach with them, that looks very unprofessional and needs to be removed. This also means introducing yourself when adding a new friend or a connection. Don't send a generic link. Explain who you are and why you would like to connect with them, including information such as mutual friends or connections if applicable. Let's move on. Social media also allows you to build a massive network in terms of links, in terms of connections, in terms of friends, tweets, etc. So import your contacts from your email and use them. Doing this step can help you establish your first set of contacts and eventually allow you to extend your network beyond your mutual friends. In this context, you can join groups that relate to your career area, follow people in your industry. This could include professional associations, alumni group, individuals or organizations who are tweeting or blogging about your career or industry area. So you've got plenty of avenues like a Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace to create and build this network. View the connections of your connections as well. They are also a part of the network. People who know may be connected to people in your career area. If so, ask your connections for an introduction. Remember, personalize requests explaining why this connection could be helpful. You can also find career and employment information by using social media. Monitor and participate in group discussions. You can learn a great deal about your career area or industry by listening to these professionals and asking relevant questions. Ask for advice, not for a job. Advice and information can help you understand what a career is really like and what you need to do to be competitive when you graduate. As you establish connections, you can ask about potential opportunities and hiring or recruitment practices, but not for someone to tell you where the jobs are. In this context, don't be ashamed to say what you're looking for. People have been successful finding work by using social media, by letting others know they are unemployed. Still, remember, the status updates should be used in moderation. So these tips have provided us ample insight into how we can easily use social media to to get improvements in our career. If you don't get any results this way, don't post a similar update every day until somebody responds. Many people have so many friends on their profile, they seem to forget that they have a large network at their disposal. Why not use it? Well, in this way, friends, we have completed this particular chapter in which we saw how networking can be used in terms of a job context. Thank you.